Some of you are aware we arrived today. We touched down at 14:30, yeah, and it was a very safe flight. And I've noticed something now, which I previously have never seen on flights. This time, when you land or you've arrived, people clap in the aircraft. I don't know when this thing started, but it was a strange experience when going from here, Lusaka, to Norway. It was the same experience. When the plane lands, you see people clapping. Yeah. When coming again, the same thing. Do you have an idea why they're doing that? I don't know when it started, but I want to believe it's the recent aircraft accidents which have been happening, right? So, I mean, it's just good to be thankful, because 7 hours up there, it's these are man-made machines and anything can go wrong, okay? So when you see the aircraft lands safely, yeah, it is something to thank God about. But as human beings, I don't know how long this will go. Maybe after the news memory of the recent India plane crash, when it fades in people's memories, maybe the claps will eventually stop. But blessed is that person who still will retain those memories and be thankful to the Lord for whatever trip they make. It is something we need to do, not because we are in the mood to do it a particular day. We don't worship God because on a certain day we feel in the mood. We don't do that. Okay? We do it because He is worthy to receive our thanks and our worship. Amen. Yeah, so we are so thankful for that. And the convention started on, hey, was that 1st July or 31st? I mean, that should have been 31st June, huh? 31st June was a Sunday, is it? Hey, you need to check the calendar, but the convention started, it usually takes 7 days. It started on 31st June, that should have been a Sunday, and ended on the following Sunday. So Norway conventions take place for 7 days. Yeah, and you have these meetings. They start in the evenings. They start at 18 hours. And, well, they'll end sometime around 21 hours. But then the fellowship continues until midnight. So you find yourself leaving church at midnight. Yeah, by the time you arrive home, it could be 10 minutes past midnight or something like that. And it's a wonderful time of fellowship. When you see people after a service, they still are in fellowship. They're still chatting about the Word of God. Well, that means something, isn't it? Then people come from church and the next thing they think is to disappear. But of course, I understand our place is different. I mean, you talk of crimes and not everyone has transportation. Understandable. That's understandable for midweek service, but not for Sunday. Because Sunday, by 12 hours, we are done. You know, I mean, it's time to... I know I've seen sometimes after service you have... Once in a while, some brothers who still want to remain praying, especially like Brother Tenson, sometimes would just want to stick around and be in prayer. The thing of it is, I pray that we may have a desire for spiritual things and a spiritual awakening, okay, where you have a real desire, you know, for God, for prayer, and just being in the Word. And on the first day of the meetings, actually, before the first day of the meetings, when I was here, I started meditating, praying, thinking on what sermons I'll preach during the meetings. And then a strong thought really was sustained in my heart. It kept coming. I need to speak on thy kingdom come. Now, one interesting thing is, well, normally if I'm preaching if I'm preparing a teaching series, I'll literally type out the sermon as the inspiration comes. And as I was preparing the sermon, it was my intention that in the first service I'll talk about the kingdoms of the world, the politics of the world. And then I was typing a phrase, and in typing it I quoted in Daniel chapter 2 where the Bible says, the kingdom of God which shall come, it won't be left to other people. And so as I was typing, these words came to my heart. I typed that in worldly systems, in democratic systems, or whatever it is, whether it's a monarch, you have a person get voted into power, and he will have a team of people to work with, and they'll have an agenda. They have certain things they want to achieve, and they'll drive a nation in a certain direction in line with that agenda. But what happens when you vote that person out, and let's say a new team comes, maybe a team which was in opposition? They'll come, it means the instruments of power have been left in the hands of other people, right? Let us read that. Daniel chapter 2. I don't intend to start teaching this, but it's just part of the testimony. Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. Daniel 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces. So the kingdom shall not be left to other people. So when one system of power or governance has come to an end, maybe because a leader has been voted out or maybe has died, another person who steps in will have a different agenda. The office, because, has been left to in the hands of another person, right? And so as I was reflecting on this thought, I was writing, I said, you see, politicians who have, each person has his own agenda. Another person who comes will set a different agenda in a different direction altogether. That's how the political systems of the world are. But we look for a kingdom which shall not be left to other people. Now, you know what? Those were my sermon notes. Those who've been following the service, the very first morning when I preached Thy Kingdom Come, part one, you need to listen to the prophecy. I have it written down here. This one here. So before the preaching started, someone spoke in tongues, and the tongues had to be interpreted, and this was the interpretation. Yes, I am getting you from the four corners of the earth so that you see my hand at work, because I'm here to encourage, also to instruct you and to give you the capability not only to survive but also to overcome, so that you can walk with peace in your mind. I am here to comfort you. I am here to instruct you so that you keep your eyes and your heart open, because this world is in a turmoil and you are heading towards the end of things. So now you have to look up. Don't look at politicians, the minds of men, because they will always seek their own. They always seek their own. But when you look up to me, I'll guide you, I'll protect you, I'll lead your arm so that you have peace of mind. But then you also have to look up, saith the Lord, because around you there'll be confusion, saith the Lord. Does something catch your attention in there?
Yeah. Don't look at politicians, the minds of men, because they always seek their own. So as I was listening to that prophecy, it got me thinking. You know, God has a way of speaking to let you know, to give you signs, to give you encouragement, to confirm that it's Him who really wants you to share the word. Is that right?
Amen.
Yeah. And so when I heard that, wow, it encouraged me. And I knew that God is at work. Amen. God is at work. So we don't know really what events are to happen soon hereafter or how long it will take. One thing is sure, the Lord will come at the time He wants to come. But between now and then, you need to check your lamp. Is it trimmed? Do you have oil? Because if you remember the parable of the 10 virgins, you know both the two groups were called virgins. Did you know that? Hello?
Amen.
They're virgins, right?
Amen.
Do you realize both of them started off their journey to go meet the bridegroom? There's no one who was part of that because they wanted to be a bad person. No, no. They have the right motivation that we're heading up to meet the bridegroom. The bridegroom, rather, is on his way, and they've been waiting. They're waiting for something. And they're all described as virgins. But when the sounding of the voice came, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," what happened? Remember, it took a long while. And it is this long while of waiting that caused a slumber. They went to sleep. That's what the scripture says, right?
Amen.
But then when the voice went out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh," what happened? Oh, they wake up. But then it is at that moment now that the wise are distinguished from the foolish. So don't you ever think the word foolish can just refer to people out there or some dead drunkard in a tavern. No. When Jesus found himself with the two walking to the road to Emmaus, those were his disciples, weren't they? But they were talking about how we had believed Jesus, it was him who would save the nation of Israel at this time. And when Jesus heard their talk, because they didn't recognize him, what did he say? "Oh, you foolish and slow to understand." Right? So, you also can be a believer. You've heard the word that tells you Jesus is coming. And yes, you are a virgin. You haven't mixed yourself with the denominations and all that. But listen to me, brethren. The story doesn't end there. Because what made the wise wise and what made the foolish foolish had something to do with the presence of oil in their lamps to keep it burning. What's the purpose of a lamp? The purpose of a lamp is for you to see. For you to see light. Is that not so? Doesn't David in Psalm 119, let us read Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So the word of God is a lamp unto my feet. It shows me how I'm supposed to walk. Because it's your feet which do the walking. If you are in a dark place, when that light shines, it will tell you, avoid there, walk there. This is not just something you read. It's that anointed word which gives you daily inspiration or
which gives you inspiration for your walk in this life. And for that lamp to be burning, it means there has to be oil. When the oil runs out, you try to keep it burning, but it won't. When everyone looks at you, you look like you are part of the journey. Yes, you received the word. Yes, you are a believer. But when the eyes of God look at you, you find that your lamp went out. There is no presence of the voice of the word of God which guides you in every step as you walk about in life. And that is dangerous. And that is what made the foolish foolish. They woke up and realized they didn't have oil in their lamps. Without oil, the flame won't be there. There won't be enlightenment. Do you know each one of us needs to learn how God is leading you? Each one of us needs to learn the voice of God in his or her life. Praise the Lord. So, very important. Well, let me not get into preaching, but that was the first Sunday, and there were two other preachers who were preaching along, those who have been listening to the sermons. I believe you've heard them. We had a brother, a pastor from Arizona in the USA, and another brother from the Philippines. You can see the sermons online. And I trust and believe the administration were a blessing to all of us who were present in the meetings. Amen. So you can find your time, you listen to the preachings, but it was quite a wonderful time of refreshment in the presence of God. Yeah. And it is my prayer that all who attended, all who are listening by means of the internet, it's not just something you hear and you forget about. The word of God says, a person who does not do the word of God is like one who sees himself in the mirror. You know, you see yourself in the mirror to check where things are not okay. But the Bible says it's like a person who checks himself in the mirror. When they move away, they soon forget how they looked like. In other words, it was really like a waste of time while you went to see yourself in the mirror. May we not be like that. Amen. Yeah, so it was a wonderful time, and the saints there really took good care of us. But more importantly, we had wonderful times of fellowship and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in our midst. So for that, we're so thankful to the Lord. Amen. And as I was touching down today upon arrival, my first thought and things running in my mind is the Mtanguleni Crusade, because we only have 2 weeks. So Brother Mansa and the team next week, possibly Tuesday or so, they need to go, and then we need to start constructing the crusade stage. Yeah, so we really don't have time. So work has to start immediately, and of course, the book Notes on Daniel has to be published as soon as we can. The brethren helping me with edits, getting on with the work. I think now they are focusing on Unto Timothy series, because it will also be in print. But another important book, 2 books I want to go in print by this month of July. I'm hoping so. Yeah, I know we've broken a lot of deadlines, but it's a book by Brother Tim McKay. It's called Judgment. No, sorry, Indictment. And then another one by Brother Stroman. It's a sermon he preached some years back when he was here, but it's blessed my heart, and I think a number of people will be blessed listening to it. And possibly putting certain experiences he had and testimonies in book form as well, just to make these things accessible the way we did on John Mark. I think it will be a blessing for people to hear. Amen. Alright, so I had opened with Matthew 28, verse 19. That was just a reading to tell you, whatever we do, let us think about other people coming to the faith. I was very encouraged today when Brother Justin had picked us from the airport, and I received a testimony from a sister who participated in the Sunday school workshop. She's learned about apologetics and all that, and she was testifying how she, together with her husband, they've gone into evangelism, witnessing, and apologetics is something she has appreciated from something which she learned in the workshop, and she's been able to witness to someone, you know, who is Chinese speaking Mandarin, and another person again, and one person is already ready for baptism this Saturday. So that is encouraging when people take things seriously and they make commitment. But we need to ask ourselves how serious we are with these things. On Saturday, there is Chawama now, and we've put up an evangelism program there over the new fellowship which is getting in shape there. And Mwembeshi, Brother Kashal always goes there. But I want to strengthen up these two places. There's a new plan I've been thinking about. Of course, I'll share it with Brother Kashala. I already shared it with Brother Mwanza. But you, on your own, check your walk with God. Amen.
Amen.
Check your walk with God. Shall we stand? I know I should think this is the shortest sharing I've ever done. 24 minutes. Yeah, but well, we just want to take some time to rest. Amen. And immediately we rest, we resume our editing works and mission works. But really, my mind and heart is towards the crusade. Those who have time, we're going to have a lot of prayers, seeking the Lord, and fastings right in here. Those who want to be part of it, let me know. We are having a prayer fasting chain like they're doing in Chatama, and other brothers are doing. So we don't have time. I need soldiers who can stand for this. Let us also pray that the Lord may help us in terms of the resources needed. Amen. Yeah, so whatever little we are having, we want to commit to the crusade which is coming. Yeah. So if you have something, commit something towards the crusade. It will help. Make a commitment. And there's a blessing in doing that. Praise the Lord. Okay, so unless there's any testimony or prayer requests, that will bring us to the end. Any testimony, any requests? Teddy, it's not, it looks like, but God really is communicating something. Right? I didn't know that's what Brother Chavula was talking about, but it's got to show that it's the same spirit. Amen. Yeah, and we just need to wake up. We just need to wake up. Just when we were on flight, when we were coming, I had an experience on the flight. It was like a vision, a trance. It really caught me in such a way that, you know, it was a big gathering. I don't understand the details. I'm still praying about it. A big gathering, and the voice of God was speaking. And when it spoke for the third time, there were thunderings and lightnings. You can ask my wife. I was shaking on there. And as I was shaking, it really scared me. I wanted that to hit me so that I come out of this experience. But then the experience was too much. I just wanted to wake up and get out of it. You know, my eyes were too weak, my body was too weak to come out of it, but the experience had just ended, but just hearing that voice, and when it spoke, you know, the place was shaking and there were lightnings and thunder. Quickly I had to type it, but I'm still seeking the Lord. I want to understand, you know, the statements which were spoken in that, but I've never had such an experience, especially whilst I'm traveling and I'm seated. But one thing I'm sure of is God is doing something, and the fact that you are not experiencing something, don't be fooled to think others are not experiencing it. Don't be careless with your spiritual walk. Amen. Don't think God speaks on Sunday services. Be found in a service like this. And don't wait for drama that I'll feel something, I'll feel emotion. God is not an emotion. God is in simplicity. All you need to do is be simple, walk in humility, and the Lord will help you. But have the hunger. Don't follow your flesh to say, I don't feel like I'm in the mood. Let us have spiritual disciplines. Let's know how to take care of our spiritual lives. You know, anything you don't take care, it collapses. Do you know that? Right? Yeah. I mean, it's like when we reached home, we went to the bedroom wanting to wash your hands, and well, you can see the way the hand basin is looking like, the way the toilet lavatory, these are things we cleaned before leaving. But because for 2 weeks we're not around, things won't be the same. There'll be specks of dust. There'll be certain things you again need to do cleaner. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So anything you don't take care of, what will happen to it? It will degrade. Right? So you need to take care of your prayer life. You need to take care of your spiritual disciplines. You need to take care of how much time you spend on the phone. You need to take care of, do I do spiritual exercises? Do I go for soul winning? God interacts with your free will. Whatever he can do in our lives, we must present ourselves. Lord, here I am. Like Isaiah. God says, whom shall I send? What did Isaiah say? Here I am, Lord, send me. The question is, are you available? Even if you were alone in this room, God can still ask, whom shall I send? Because your free will has to agree. Is that so? So, thank you for sharing that testimony. Yeah. You need to be awake. So, I didn't even hear whatever Brother Chafula was ministering. But I come here and I speak something and it ties in with what he was speaking. So that means it's a message for you. It's a message for me. It's a message for us all to be very humble, to check ourselves, to make sure we're on our post of duty. Participate in the Chawama evangelisms. What time did we say we're going in these evangelisms? 12 hours? Yeah, 12 hours. We go to, you don't say, Vanashita announce, Vanashita, Nuguzpezamo. A spiritual walk is an individual walk. And that's another prophecy which kept coming in Norway. It's an individual walk. Amen. Yeah. Okay. We can end here. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your goodness and your loving kindness. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Help us, Lord, as we walk in these perilous times. We know that no matter how perilous it gets, we shall have rest in our hearts. Yes, we shall have rest. We don't want to attempt to do some sophisticated things in our minds, but we simply want to walk in simplicity and in humility, waiting upon you, walking in the power of your grace. We are so thankful, Lord, in everything. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. With thanks in our hearts, I pray for everyone as they go home. Blessed be your name, Lord. And once again, we thank you for the safe journey and the safe trip. We commit the Chawama evangelism. Help us, Lord. We pray for the Mtenguleni crusade preparations, which now have to go in full gear. Help us, Lord. We pray believing the Lord, you shall grant whatever resources are needed for this undertaking. But more importantly, we now desire to spend a lot of time in your presence, seeking your mind, seeking your will, O God. And in all these things, Lord, we remember Brother Rolf and Sister Grace. We thank you that they kept us during all the time when Norway, together with all the brethren who were keeping other visitors and in other homes, may you bless that fellowship, Lord. Grant it, Father, we pray, thanking you. Amen.
Amen.
May the Lord richly bless you. Praise the Lord.